Hey, it's Mass. Since 1928, Rodenizer Home Services has been your trusted local experts for all your plumbing needs. From bathroom and kitchen fixtures to leaking pipes and water heaters, Rodenizer offers you the higher standards of professionalism. When you have questions, Rodenizer has answers, all backed by their 100% customer satisfaction guarantee. Their motto is simple: nice people, great service. So experience the difference today with Rodenizer Home Services. Visit Rodenizer.com to schedule today.
Now, the show that is all baseball.
They're better than they were a year ago.
This is the Baseball Hour with Tony Maz.
Brought to you by Jackson Lumber and Millwork, Bigelow Tea, Gravely Zero Turn Lawnmowers, the 99 Restaurants, Sing Sang Cocktail in a Can, Win Waste Innovations, and Woodbridge Wines.
On Boston's home for sports, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
If the Yankees don't get a run, this would be the ninth time they were shut out this year. And Donaldson, slow roller, tough play, bare hand to first, and they get him. Christian Arroyo comes in and makes the play. The Red Sox ride Pham and Devers offensively, and the back of Walker, Brazier, and Whitlock.
Christian Arroyo comes in bare hands. Throws a strike over to Eric Hosmer to end the game. They were brilliant tonight all around.
All right, welcome into the Baseball Hour. 617-779-0985 is the number. The Red Sox will be in Pittsburgh tonight to play the Pirates, the opener of a three-game series. And then they will go to Baltimore over the weekend for another three games against the Orioles. This is all a long way of me telling you that the Red Sox have a very winnable week coming up here as they try to get back into the playoff race, win themselves a playoff spot in the American League. So this is where I want to start tonight, okay? Because I've noticed an interesting pattern or development as it pertains to any discussion about the Red Sox. I also want to get to Garrett Whitlock in a little bit as well. I want to follow up on something I said yesterday, because John Tomasi of NBC Sports Boston shares a similar sentiment as I do, which we'll get to as well. I see Martin in Texas already wants to talk about Garrett Whitlock, which we'll get to. But earlier today on Felger and Maz, we were talking about the Red Sox, and the idea of them playing themselves back into this race came up. And Murray, you said you didn't want to see them do it.
Right.
Right? You don't want to see the Red Sox get back in. Why not?
Mostly because I want to be right about my take. I think they've been dead for a while. And to use Dan Shaughnessy and Chris Gasper's line, it's the illusion of contending that I think we've been watching most of the season. And that's it. That has kept some people engaged. And I refuse. I don't care how they looked this weekend. That, to me, was more about the Yankees who were reeling and than it is the Red Sox. And we've seen this recently. They went into Houston. They beat the Astros. And then they went to Kansas City and puked on themselves. So I'm not going to fall for the recency bias. I think they're not very good. And they're not going to make the playoffs. And that's been my take. So I want to be right about it. And the other thing is, I think they don't deserve it, Maz. Like, ownership doesn't really care about the team that they once did. But more importantly, like, Heimblum's GM style, I find repulsive. So for that, they deserve where they're at with a last-place finish as of right now.
Okay, so the essence of it, though, is that you thought that they were done. You don't think you're very good, so you're rooting for your take. And you have a hard time rooting for ownership, which I get. I totally understand that. But I'm looking now at the team, and I see a different team. And when I say different, I don't mean like all of a sudden they're the 27 Yankees. Okay? I'm just telling you that I look at the team and the composition of the roster, and I feel like they are a different team than they were maybe at other points in the season, where we looked at them and said, okay, look, you know, they don't have a first baseman. Their bullpen blows. They've had injuries on top of it. They don't have a right-handed hitting outfielder. They're playing Christian Arroyo out there, all of which I get. Okay, and at the time, legit criticisms. Haven't they fixed a lot of those?
Yeah, so first base for sure. I mean, Hosmer is a legit first baseman, one that you've been clamoring for a couple of years, and the outfield's gotten better. I don't agree with you like that the bullpen's better. I still think the bullpen's still shaky and untrustworthy. What, they're getting Matt Strom back? Like, big whoop.
Okay, so but it's not just about Matt Strom to me. It's really more about Garrett Whitlock than it is about anything else. So, but here's my point. Do you think they can't win because you don't want them to win? Because they've pissed you off to this stage, or you don't like ownership and you don't think they're invested? Or, and when I say win, I mean make a run. If you look at the team on the field, Do you think they are now equipped to make a run? This is what Alex Cora was asked over the weekend. Tommy Pham spoke to it as well. And so let me just read you a couple of comments. Alex Cora said, math-wise, this was before the game on Sunday. Math-wise, it looks challenging, he said, Cora said. But I still believe we're going to have one of those big runs. I think there's time. I do believe that. Tommy Pham said, we're starting to click. We're getting some guys back. So we're getting a little bit more confident. Okay, that's it. Just those things. So is your distaste for the Red Sox, and again, you're right to feel some level of resentment or distaste for the way they've played for large chunks of this year and how they've been run and how they performed on the field. All those things are legit. But if you look at them now and you look at their lineup, do you think they are equipped to make a run? That is the question I want to ask people tonight. Because I look at them and I say, well, we bitched about the fact that they didn't have a major league first baseman. Well, now they have Eric Hosmer. We bitched about the fact that they didn't have a right-handed hitting outfielder to complement Jackie Bradley or to play more regularly in the outfield. Well, now they have Tommy Pham. Tonight, and Murray, maybe you can double-check this, but has Kike Hernandez been activated? Is he going to play tonight against Pittsburgh? Because Jarren Duran, I think, is going to be out of the lineup. Okay, so no more Jarren Duran. So your outfield now will be Pham, Hernandez, Verdugo. Presuming Hernandez plays, and I'll tell you what, even if Hernandez doesn't, the fact that Duran is batting ninth, to me, speaks volumes about how they've changed their roster. He was your leadoff hitter less than a week ago. The infield, Devers is back. He missed 10 days. Devers, Bogarts, Arroyo, Hosmer. I don't know who's catching tonight, but in terms of how they handle the staff, I'm reasonably confident in both Plawecki and McGuire. Vasquez was a loss, but I don't think the kind of loss that should cripple the team. And as bad as their bullpen has been all year long, and it has been bad, I thought they were pretty good over the weekend. Whitlock's back. I'm no huge Matt Barnes fan, but again, I'm just trying to go by what I saw over the weekend. Barnes threw the ball better. Brazier threw the ball better. I think they allowed one run in nine innings over the weekend, and the one run that was scored against him was on a squeeze.
Oh, Hernandez is in the lineup, but turns out Bogarts is not in the lineup tonight.
Okay, so if we could find out a little bit more there, maybe there's an injury or just a day off or what have you?
Yeah, Chris Cotillo had the latest here 16 minutes ago. Chris Cotillo, Mass Live. Still no moves. Our lineup from the Red Sox, unclear what's going on. Doesn't sound like Bogarts to injured list is an option.
Okay, so
it's probably got COVID or something.
Well, it's something to keep an eye on. Certainly, you don't want to, you know, in a night when I'm the Red Sox are close to getting back to, you know, I would say something close to full health. Again, Trevor Story would really be the only starter missing, essentially.
Can I update this?
Yeah, go ahead, Jimmy.
It looks like this is according to Tom Caron, be better, blue check mark. Kike Hernandez will play shortstop tonight. Bogarts fouled a ball off his foot over the weekend.
Okay, so I don't know what that means. So Duran is in there tonight?
That I don't know.
Well, he's probably in center field. I think it would have to be unless it's ref side or it's not a left-handed pitcher. But regardless, until we learn that Bogarts has a broken foot, okay, which I don't think is the case. But even so, what you have now is a representative big league team. I mean, you have a representative big league team. You still have superstars in the middle of the lineup who look like they're starting to hit a little bit. You have a guy in your bullpen that can shut down games. So if you're looking at the Red Sox and you say, I don't think they can make a run, I would like to know why. I would like to know why. Have you just have such distaste for the way they played and for ownership, which again is fine, and management, or the players, whoever, that's fine. But I want to know why, because I try to judge it on what I see on the field. I say this all the time. I don't know if they're going to win or lose, but I can tell you how they're playing. Over the weekend, they played well.
Yeah, but that's the thing. Again, small sample size. Because another reason I don't believe, like, is I think that they've proven this year to be weak-willed. At least some of their superstars have, or quote-unquote, like Bogarts has moped through this season, especially since post-trade deadline. And J.D. Martinez, I think, is another one you could look at doing the same kind of thing, having a down year.
Agreed, Murray.
That they have one bad game tonight. This rest of this, they could end up losing this series to a bad Pittsburgh team.
We've totally agree. 100%. I'm just telling you, I think they played better on the week over the weekend. It would not surprise me if they had a good week. That's all. And I'm trying to judge it by the baseball on the field. And the weak-willed part, true. Everything you're saying about them is true, Murray. I'm just telling you again, baseball-wise, I saw a better team over the weekend than I've seen in a little while.
All right.
Okay? And the weak-willed part, does it feel to you like Tommy Pham has a will?
Oh, yeah, no. He looks like he's a fun little player.
I mean, he added some edge to the team, correct?
For sure.
Okay, and I think that Hosmer is also sort of a competitive veteran stabilizing presence. I think Hosmer's got some intangibles too. But in any case, let's get to your calls. I see a number you lined up. Martin's in Texas. Good, Martin.
Hey, Tony, Mike. I wanted to continue what you were saying about Whitlock. I'm like firmly in agreement with you about how we should have used him. But I think the point that you and some other people might be missing is they signed that, 5-year, $18 million extension. Chaim Bloom made him a starter to make it look like a genius if it worked out. And since it hasn't worked out, he looks like an idiot.
Yeah, so Martin, I'll tell you what. I want to get a little bit more into that Whitlock deal, that Whitlock decision, maybe in the next segment. But your point is one that I have felt all along. John Tomasi today of NBC Sports Boston wrote a column saying the worst move the Red Sox made all year was putting Garrett Whitlock in the rotation. That was the single worst move. I agree with him. I said the same thing on the air last night. My guess is Tomasi had the column. I've been saying the same thing all year. That was egregious. That was a horrible, horrible decision that had nothing to do with the success of the 2022 Red Sox. The decision they made was all about the future or trying to make the guy that they just signed look even better by converting him to a starting pitcher. It was a colossal, selfish mistake. Anthony on the Cape, go ahead.
Tony, yeah, you've been on the Whitlock thing on point all year, way before everybody else, no question. Just like me with Bogarts. And I feel so vindicated that earlier in the season when I said, this guy's not a $30 million player, you said, I'm full of crap. Now, you said the same thing yesterday. So I feel a lot of vindication for that. But this is 2 years in a row, Tony, that this guy's quit as the leader of the team, okay? And when he wakes up and realizes that this is actually the third or fourth best team in the American League, and they're not that far out of it, and he gets his head out of his ass, okay, because I think he is a leader on this team, a lot like a Randy Moss-type leader. He's leading people in the wrong direction, okay? And he's a problem. I don't want him on this team anymore. I'm done with this guy. I'm glad everybody else is now on board. He ain't no $30 million player. If he wants to go for the most money, good luck to you. If you don't want to be shortstop for the Boston Red Sox, see you later.
Okay, so Anthony, good call. Again, I disagree with you on some parts of it, but you're not wrong to say that Bogarts pouted. Or for that matter, that J.D. Martinez and Devers and Bogarts and whoever else went into a bit of a spin after the trading deadline because they were upset at the way the whole thing went down. They made comments to that effect. In fact, most of them wouldn't even say that the team was better, which I'm not sure they were wrong about. But the point is they were clearly affected emotionally, and the performance on the field suggested they checked out. I'm not going to dispute that. I think, now again, the $30 million thing with Bogarts, at the beginning of the year, I thought he was. If he goes on the market now, he's not getting it. Not with 8 home runs. So, now again, will he get 25? Something of the like? I don't know. Probably. Something in that area. He'll probably make more than I think. But fair is fair. And what you said about Bogarts is all those criticisms are legit. And they're out there, let alone the fact that historically he's not performed well in the postseason. I still want him. But again, the question to you, if you don't think the Red Sox can make a run, to use Alex Cora's term, I want to know why not. I want to know why not. I want to know why you think they can't make a run. Because talent-wise right now, they're starting to pretty much get everybody back. Okay, they're pretty healthy now. And they played well over the weekend. I don't care who it was against. The quality of their play was good. We'll take your calls and get to Garrett Whitlock And an important distinction about the contract he signed in the spring that I don't think gets enough attention. We'll do that when we come back.
Hey, don't go anywhere.
Yes, yes.
This is the Baseball Hour with Tony Maz on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Hey, it's Maz. Are you tired of small inconveniences that always turn into big headaches at home? Well, my friends at Rodenizer Home Services can make small fixes like repairing leaky faucets, adding or replacing electrical outlets and lights, or clearing slow drains that will provide big comfort for your home. And with over 10,000 five-star reviews, Rodenizer's expert technicians are just a call away and ready to fix those inconveniences at your home. Experience the difference with Rodenizer Home Services. Visit Rodenizer.com to schedule today. That's Rodenizer Home Services. Nice people, great service since 1928.
Now more baseball and more Mavs.
Okay.
This is the Baseball Hour with Tony Mavs on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
I've been saying that for a while. Not too many people believe me, you know, but I think the people that really matter, they believe it. So it's the people in there. So we just got to keep playing. We play well against Atlanta. We lost two games. We played well yesterday against Baltimore. We won. We play well against the Yankees. We won. There's a winning streak somewhere, you know, and this is a good baseball team that is going to get healthy. And that's what people haven't seen. But, you know, it's not their job. That's my job, to keep them positive and keep pushing. And the coaching staff is doing an amazing job.
So again, that's Alex Cora. I happen to agree with him. I think they played well over the weekend. I think they played well in that Baltimore finale. I think that the Red Sox are getting healthier. I think there's a chance here they're going to give you something in terms of a run. I can't tell you that they're going to make the playoffs. I have no idea how that's going to go. Their chances aren't good. I mean, anybody that picks them to make the playoffs right now is playing a long shot. Their chances are like 6%. I mean, I've seen different estimations on what their playoff chances are, but the best I've seen is like 13%. So the overwhelming odds suggest they're going to miss the playoffs. Yes. But I will tell you what is a big thing for me is now that Whitlock is now a factor in that bullpen. At the end of these games, those two games they want to get the Yankees, Whitlock was a huge, huge factor in those games. This brings me back to earlier in the year and the decision to take him out of the bullpen. Colossally bad mistake. Horrible. I mean, I think Whitlock could have won them another five games over the span of the season if they had left him in the bullpen. Is that too aggressive an estimate? I don't think it is. They lost so many games in the late innings. I think Whitlock would have made a difference. And they'd be right there knocking on the door despite everything else if they had just left Whitlock in the pen. And quickly, the contract extension that they signed Whitlock to before this season, that was reliever money. That was not starter money. The deal they gave Whitlock was 4 years for $18.5 million. Starts next year. 4 years, $18.5 million. That is the money you would pay a relief pitcher. If you're assuming that Whitlock is going to be a starter during that time, he's going to make more in arbitration than an average of $4.5 million. He might make $18 million in one arbitration year. So it was part of the impetus for putting him in the rotation to further maximize the value of that contract. Like what? It wasn't enough to have Garrett Whitlock as a $4 million reliever being a force in your bullpen. You had to go for more. You had to do what a team like Tampa Bay would have done, or the Pittsburgh Pirates, or to maximize every nickel. Was that what the impetus was to put him in the rotation? We got to maximize that contract and we'll look even smarter. Or what was the decision-making process? Because the 2022 Red Sox needed Whitlock in the bullpen. Okay, they needed him in the bullpen. That decision, if it was related to the contract and the value of the contract, what a colossal, embarrassing, selfish mistake. Bob in Medford on Tommy Pham. Go ahead, Bob.
Hey, good evening. I'm going to give you my take, and then I'm going to hang up here. Tommy Pham should have been on this team the entire year. The fact that he didn't, and he was cheap, and he's really not even signed past this year, that screwed the Red Sox over because they had negative players, basically, in the lineup every single night. If they could have had just an average guy like a Tommy Pham in there and not being dragged down by a Jackie Bradley or a Duran, that screws you over. Like, you don't have to have an all-star at every position. You have to have at least an average guy out there. And to answer your question, I think they're in it, but they were screwed over by having a negative player in right field all year, a negative player at first base all year. And if they could have been average at those two spots, I think we're over 500, if not a couple games over. And I'll hang up and listen to the rest
of it. And I think you're dead on. I feel the same way. And you say couple of other average spots. I would say Whitlock in the bullpen. If you had Whitlock in the bullpen, Hosmer and Pham the whole year, you'd be in this thing. You might be in possession of a playoff spot right now. You could have handled all the other stuff if you just had those three things. Chris is in Medford. Chris, go.
So I do think they can make the playoffs, but I think a bigger part of me wants this whole implosion to continue to put some pressure on the team, because if they go on a run here, the disconnect between the front office and the team on the field and the mismanagement of the roster, like you keep alluding to Whitlock, that's just going to be brushed under the rug for the time being, and I want those problems to be addressed. And I think the best way for that to happen is for the spotlight to be on them the second game 162 ends. So I think a postseason run is just going to say, hey, we can keep doing this and we'll keep making the playoffs, but it's not going to put them over the hump.
No, Chris, look, it's an interesting point again, that if they somehow turn this thing around, that it'll be validation and that they won't necessarily, they think that, we can just add guys at the deadline and get in. I can't help but wonder, though, if they didn't learn the error of their ways already, that maybe the lesson that you're talking about has already been made. You could have signed Tommy Pham before the season started, let alone trade for him during the year earlier than August, okay, or basically August 1st. He was in Cincinnati. You're telling me Cincinnati wouldn't have given him up? And again, it wouldn't have been worth it for you to give up a top 40 prospect or whatever for Tommy Pham because you had a need? So what, you didn't want to pay that when he was a low-salaried guy early in the year, but you do it now? I mean, so again, it's about the deal. It's not about the team. You're more interested in winning the deal or making a shrewd move than you are in helping your baseball team. See, this is where the modern executive loses me. Are you trying to help your team or are you trying to win a trade? Because they're not. If you're trying to win trades all the time, you're going to neglect your team, and that's what they did this year. Now, again, let's not leave the players out of it either, because at the deadline, they did. They shut it down. They shut it down. And this has happened more than once here in the last 5 years. 2019 deadline wasn't great either. Okay, that wasn't great either. So it's happened on more than one occasion now over a span of years where we've seen the Red Sox go into a coma right around the trade deadline. Kevin's in a car. Kevin, go.
Hey, Maz, I think the biggest question mark I have going forward is the starting pitching for this team. You know, if they're going to be successful the rest of the year, because watching what Waka did the other night with 9 Ks against the Yankees, no runs, was fantastic, and he goes deep. I don't think our bullpen is bad. I just don't think it's deep. So when we have starting pitchers going 4 2/3, I just don't think it's going to work.
Okay, and look, Kevin, you might be right. Again, I will say there is a shortcoming in the rotation. So Waka's a big part of it. You know, Pivetta certainly has done well against bad and mediocre competition. He goes against the Pirates tonight. So your starters are going to have to give you something and take some of the workload off the bullpen. Agreed. Absolutely. I think Cutter Crawford can help you there, though. He's basically given you 6 innings every time he's gone out. And I think you have enough to compete with the teams that you are competing with for a playoff spot. If you can beat out Tampa and finish third, that presumes you will also beat out the Orioles. You can still get in. Chris is in Hartford. Chris, go ahead.
Okay, Maz. When it comes to Whitlock, whoever made that decision, it almost smells like dirty pool, okay? And if that's Heim, he should be shot, not fired. You're not talking about 5 games, Maz. You're talking about 10 games because of the pressure he put on the other guys. The pressure that Heim has put on this ball club is completely, hysterically crazy.
Chris, we're not going to send anyone to the firing squad, though. Okay, with all due respect, we're not going to do that. But again, I do wonder sometimes. I think that a lot of these young Ivy League, you know, we mock them for it a lot, between 2 and 6. And we can extend it to 7 o'clock. The nerds, the Ivy League nerds, Yale, Princeton, Penn, Columbia, wherever. Okay, the problem is these guys sometimes are too smart for their own good. And listen, Chaim Bloom's exceptionally bright. But are you more interested in, this is going to sound funny, are you more interested in running the Red Sox at peak efficiency financially than you are in actually winning? In other words, one of the big stats in Moneyball was this whole, you know, cost per win. It was the whole thing that they trumpeted with Billy Beane. Cost per win. Oakland was winning as many or more games as anyone else in the league, and they were doing it a fraction of the cost. Great. Do you get a trophy for that? Do they give you a parade for that? Again, that's a great business model, but Oakland never won a World Series. And Billy Beane himself said, my stuff doesn't work in the playoffs. I would tell you Tampa Bay has never won a World Series. They've gotten there, unlike Oakland, but they haven't won it. The Twins haven't won it. So a lot of these Moneyball analytics-driven teams, their stuff works in the regular season. Their cost per win is very low. But they don't ever win the final game of the season, as the expression goes. They don't win the championship. So at some point, are you willing to sacrifice one for the other? Like, are you willing to sacrifice the cost per win? And maybe you don't finish in the top five. Maybe you finish 7th or 8th. Or maybe you finish 15th. But are you willing to sacrifice that to win a World Series? Sometimes it just feels like some of these executives aren't. They're more interested in being able to tell all the other GMs, look at the job we did. We won 92 games with a payroll of $110 million. We were just a little over a million per win. Yeah, but the Dodgers won the World Series. Well, yeah, but they have a bigger payroll than we do. So, the rules are the rules. I mean, I always thought you were supposed to play the game by the whatever the rules were. If the rules allow the Dodgers to spend more, well, then you got to find a way to spend more money to catch the Dodgers. And I know that's not all possible, and I believe in a salary cap and all that stuff. I'd love to see baseball do it. I don't know if they ever will. So I get why the small market teams have to do it that way. But here? You want to bring those principles here? Like, think if the Yankees or the Mets or the Dodgers did it that way. Wouldn't we be looking at them and saying the same thing? We'll check in with Chris Cotillo of Mass Live. Continue with your calls when we come back.
Hey, it's Maz. Are you tired of small inconveniences that always turn into big headaches at home? Well, my friends at Rodenizer Home Services can make small fixes like repairing leaky faucets, adding or replacing electrical outlets and lights, or clearing slow drains that will provide big comfort for your home. And with over 10,000 five-star reviews, Rodenizer's expert technicians are just a call away and ready to fix those inconveniences at your home. Experience the difference with Rodenizer Home Services. Visit Rodenizer.com to schedule today. That's Rodenizer Home Services. Nice people, great service since 1928.
This is the Baseball Hour with Tony Maz on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
This is the portion of the program where we would normally bring you the Red Sox lineup, but at this moment in time, we don't yet have it. Obviously, there's been a lot of movement today for the White Sox or the Red Sox, and we don't quite know how to define them. Are they buyers? Are they sellers? I'm confused. I would imagine I'm not the only one. What is the general feeling inside that clubhouse right now?
Nicole, there's no question about it. When this trade deadline is over, when the dust settles, there's a lot of work that needs to be done by the front office to repair the relationships within the clubhouse because they're wondering, what is the plan? I have players coming up to me asking me, what are we doing here? Wondering, why don't we have Xander Bogaerts signed, Rafael Devers, etc.? What are we doing going forward? Yesterday, you heard Christian Vasquez talk about, hey, we're 3.5 games out. We feel like we have a chance to compete. But he also added he didn't know how the front office feels about it. And 24 hours later, he's traded. So within that clubhouse, a lot of players asking a lot of questions about what the front office is doing.
It's Buster Olney of ESPN back at the trading deadline. We'll do a little bit more on that in just one moment. But let me just do this quickly. Because, again, this week's Performer of the Week is brought to you by Win Waste Innovations, the official waste and recycling services provider of the 98.5 The Sports Hub Patriots and Bruins Radio Networks. Visit win-waste.com today for all your waste and recycling needs. This week's performer of the week, and this goes back to Sunday now, is Michael Wacha, who came off the injured list and pitched an absolutely brilliant game for the Red Sox on Sunday night against the Yankees. Get them a win and a series win. They're first in the division all year long. With that in mind, and if you're on the line, sit tight. We have Chris Cotillo of Mass Live, who's joining us now, but via the Volkswagen Dealers Expert Hotline. Chris, are you there?
I'm here. How are you?
All right, good. Thank you for joining us. So let me just start with this, because I know this Xander Bogaerts is not in the lineup tonight. It sounds like he has some sort of foot issue from fouling a ball off his foot in the series against the Yankees over the weekend. Just based on what we know now, how concerned should people be?
Doesn't sound like it's a big concern. Asking around this afternoon, it sounds like he's going to avoid the injured list. That's not a consideration at that point. So we've seen Alex Cora do this time and time again. If guys are, you know, a little bit banged up, then he gives them that double off day. Obviously, they were off yesterday. He'll give them the night off tonight. Kike Hernandez is at shortstop and has returned from the injured list. So not a lot of concern, obviously. You know, this time of year when you're fighting for a playoff spot, you want all your best players in the lineup. But sounds like he'll be back tomorrow or the day after.
Okay. So, again, and so that makes sense with the day off that you give them two in a row. They're playing Pittsburgh. They think they can get by without them, which makes sense. One of the questions I asked on this show tonight, Chris, and I'm interested in people's responses because a lot of people have lost faith in the Red Sox. Jim Murray, who sits alongside me here, said earlier that, he wants a message to be sent to ownership. He finds ownership unlikable. He thinks, he didn't think they were going to make the playoffs a long time ago. So in a lot of ways, he wants to be right about that. But that's why he doesn't think the Red Sox will make a run or why he's rooting against them. Let me ask you, do you think they can make a run as constituted right now?
I mean, I think we're seeing, obviously, a lot of guys coming back. We saw it on Sunday night with Michael Wacha. Obviously, Kike Hernandez back tonight. Rob Refsnyder is, kind of gave them a jolt when he was in the lineup. He can hit lefties. We know that. And they're expecting Trevor Story, Matt Strom, some of these other guys back in the next couple of weeks. So they're going to be healthier in the next month than they have been, I guess, really, at any point since the beginning of June when all these guys started, going on the injured list. That being said, there's still a lot of wasted time in there where they haven't played well, really during much of that stretch. And there are only 6 weeks left, and you're trailing so many teams. I think you look at the five-game deficit, and that is like, you figure you can make up five games if you're chasing one team, but you're in seventh place, and only three teams make those wild cards. So, there's a lot of teams they have to jump. Obviously, they're going to play a bunch of those teams a lot. They play Minnesota. They play Toronto a bunch. They play Tampa and Baltimore a bunch. But they can't let these opportunities go to waste when they're playing bad teams like they did in Kansas City, 2 weeks ago. Pittsburgh is 45-70. They're at, the bottom of the standings in the National League. And really, you hate to say this because these are major league teams, but anything other than a sweep over the next 3 days is a disappointment for the Red Sox. So, you kind of win the winnables and try to, win series 2 out of 3 or split a 4-game series against, the other teams. That's how you'll make up ground. I think the problem, like I said, it's not that they're 5 games back, but the problem is that, they have all these teams ahead of them and the teams that they've struggled to face so far this year. They haven't played well against Toronto. They haven't played well against Tampa or Baltimore. They'll see a lot of those guys coming up here.
So, Chris, I look at this week, and I know you just said if you don't sweep this series against Pittsburgh, it's a disappointment. I think a lot of people would agree with you. I look at it more as the whole week, the whole trip. Go a minimum of 5-1. Somewhere in there, you're probably going to blow a game. It's hard to win 6 in a row unless you have a good, steady, reliable rotation, which I'm not sure the Red Sox do. But given the competition, and I know Baltimore's played better, I look at it and say, okay, we'll go 5-1 this week. Give people a reason to believe that maybe you have a little momentum. But and everything you said, Chris, and I had the same conversation with Murray a little while ago. Everything you said is right. They played Kansas City. They had a chance to beat up in a bad team. They lost 3 of 4. This whole nosedive really started back with the series in Chicago against the Cubs, a bad team. They lost 2 of 3 over the weekend. Frankly, they were lucky to win one game in Chicago when they played that series. And yet, I look at their roster, Chris, and I already say they have gotten healthier or they've gotten better at, a couple of spots. They've added Hosmer. They've added Pham, neither of whom's an all-star, but they're capable big league players, which is unlike anything they've had to this point in the season as far as the Red Sox go. And I thought they played better this weekend over the Yankees. So the common reply, Chris, that I get when I say they played better over the weekend is everybody says the Yankees played poorly. The Yankees are slumping. It really wasn't the Red Sox. Isn't it possible that the Red Sox still played well and the Yankees did not play well?
Yeah, I mean, I think the Yankees obviously are struggling offensively, but the Red Sox pitching staff deserves credit. You know, the bullpen was excellent all weekend. I know they lost the Saturday night game, but the bullpen has, you know, kind of held their own here. I know you've talked about it a lot, and so have I, and written about it. Garrett Whitlock being in that bullpen really changes the complexion of the whole team. You know, we've seen what he can do when he's out there. He's absolutely dominant. And so I think the Red Sox do deserve credit, you know, and not just that, but that, you know, they won a tight game over the Orioles on Thursday night. You know, the Orioles are one of the teams they're chasing. So, you know, they deserve credit. You know, the Yankees are obviously floundering, but this is where, you know, they kind of hit that fork in the road, right? Like, you win 2 of 3 in Houston. You feel good about that. A lot going on there with the trade deadline. Tight games. They end up winning 2 of 3. You're feeling good about yourself, you know, and then they kind of fell into that trap in Kansas City, and they really need to avoid that now. Especially because if you look at, you know, what the 10 games after this road trip are, 3 against Toronto, 3 against Tampa, 3 against Minnesota, that's a very tough stretch. You're going to need to, like you said, you know, 5-1 on this road trip would be great. 6-0 would be even better. You know, I think they are feeling good, and they do feel that, like, they have some confidence because these guys are back. You know, Kike Hernandez, you know, obviously they're not at full strength tonight with Bogarts out for the day, and, you know, Story's still not back. But when you have Kike Hernandez out there, you know, he's a guy that they relied on, you know, in a huge way during the stretch last year. Michael Wacha's back, and you know, we've seen Eovaldi, even though his velocity's been down, he's been, you know, okay and can still compete. Whitlock, obviously, since he's been back, has been great. I mean, it's always an excuse with injuries, right? Like, you don't want to say that it's the reason for things to happen, but they have been, you know, not at full strength for 2 full months, and this is as close as they've been in a while. So I think that there is a little reason to believe in that sense.
I'm curious as to your read on why Garrett Whitlock was moved into the rotation early in the year. Do you have any read on that? What is your assessment of that whole thing?
I think that that was a big subject of debate internally. I know there are people that were unhappy with that decision. At the end of the day, you know, I don't even know if they have to come to a consensus on something like that, but the decision makers decided that it was time for Whitlock to be used out of the rotation. I think, you know, the sense I always got was that they felt like, okay, he's, if not our best pitcher, one of our absolute best pitchers. We need to see how many innings we can get out of him. And, like, I get that. Like, you'd rather have your best pitcher throw 150 innings than 70, and that makes sense. But at the end of the day, he's affecting less games in that role. And I would always say, like, put your guy, you have a guy like that, he can win you more games out of the bullpen. I think you said earlier today, you know, they might have won 5 more games if he was in the bullpen the whole time. And that is the deficit they face right now, which I think was a good point. So they kind of looked at his value being in that more innings, the better. I always thought it was the more games, the better. It'll be interesting because I'm sure we're going to have this exact same debate in spring training next year. They're going to want to probably put him in the rotation, especially if guys like Wacha and Eovaldi depart. And to me, I think, you know, like, don't mess with what you have, right? Like, you have one of the best relievers in all of baseball. He's not your traditional one-inning guy. He's a guy that can go multiple innings. One thing I do worry about with him is that hip is not cured. It's still a problem. I mean, if you see him walking around, people have mentioned just coming off the mound, he looks uncomfortable. After games, and I know, you know, Alex Spear in The Globe wrote this today, you know, there's a gait there, and he's not walking like you'd expect from a 25, 26-year-old athlete. Unclear if that's going to be something that requires more attention or anything this winter, but you know, he's definitely uncomfortable out there and uncomfortable just walking around in everyday life, so that's a little bit of a concern, but clearly it's not affecting him on the mound.
Well, so I'm glad you brought up the Spear story as well, because I got a lot of play, obviously, you know, regarding how the trade deadline is viewed internally. And so before we let you go, let me just ask you quickly, you know, when you saw that story by Spear, do you get the sense that there was a lot of confusion internally with regard to the trade deadline and with regard to the decision-making specifically of Chaim Bloom?
Yeah, and I think that dates back to before the deadline. I think that, you know, there's a sense that they needed to make, or they need to get reinforcements, they needed to make moves before July, because they went through that, you know, 2-week gauntlet where they played the Yankees and they played the Rays, you know, back to back, and then, you know, on the road back to back, they didn't play well. They were already shorthanded. They had, you know, during that stretch, as Alex Cora mentioned yesterday, you had four rookies going in a row. You know, four of your five guys on the rotation are rookies in Crawford, Winkowski, Bayo, and Siebold. I know some of those guys had success, some didn't. But they felt like they needed reinforcements then, and they never got them. And that, I think, was an issue in the clubhouse. And my point right after the trade deadline, which, you know, Alex's reporting, I think, is spot on, that people were confused about the direction. Xander Bogaerts even said so publicly, right, that he kind of questioned the direction the Red Sox were going in. My question all along was like, okay, even if you admit that the roster is a little bit better, let's say it's, you know, 5% better with Hosmer and Pham, even with Vasquez gone, like, okay, that's debatable, but let's say that it is better. Was it worth improving it that, you know, 2%, 3%, 4%, 5% to really, you know, piss off everybody in the clubhouse? And that's really what happened when Vasquez was traded. People were really upset about that. You know, obviously they played well for those 2 days in Houston, but, you know, once the dust settled after the deadline, that could have been part of the letdown in Kansas City, right? He's a beloved guy. He's a guy that affects just, you know, both your lineup and obviously your pitching staff in a big way. You know, I think that Red Sox fans generally have overrated Vasquez since the deadline. He's one of these guys that Red Sox fans like more that he's gone now that he's gone than they actually did when he was here. I don't think he's a superstar by any means, but I mean, it was definitely deflating in the clubhouse. Not, you know, just because of the guy he is, but just of the message it sent. Like, okay, there was a sense that, you know, they were giving up on the team. Was that worth it to get the roster marginally better with Hosmer and Pham? That's something I've doubted for the last 2 weeks. You know, obviously they've been kind of stuck in neutral, so, you know, it hasn't, you know, galvanized the team. We've seen, like, the Orioles traded Lopez and Mancini, and they've kind of lit a fire under them. I don't think that's been the case with the Red Sox. So confusion for sure, disappointment for sure, and I think that's still lingering here.
Yeah, look, and I think that part of it, too, goes on the players, right? Their job is to play through it. They didn't do that. But anyway.
Yeah.
Well, Chris, listen, we'll catch up with you again. Thank you for joining us on the show.
Thanks a lot. Appreciate it.
Okay, there you go. Chris Cotillo, Mass Live, joining us via the Volkswagen Dealers Expert Hotline. We will wrap it up on the Baseball Hour when we come back.
The Baseball Hour with Tony Maz continues after these on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Hey, it's Maz. Are you tired of small inconveniences that always turn into big headaches at home? Well, my friends at Rodenizer Home Services can make small fixes like repairing leaky faucets, adding or replacing electrical outlets and lights, or clearing slow drains that will provide big comfort for your home. And with over 10,000 five-star reviews, Rodenizer's expert technicians are just a call away and ready to fix those inconveniences at your home. Experience the difference with Rodenizer Home Services. Visit Rodenizer.com to schedule today. That's Rodenizer Home Services. Nice people, great service since 1928.